it's about 4:30 in the morning, and I don't know how much you can hear me because I'm driving along in the car, and my iPhone's in its Tom cradle, so I just thought I'd do a boo because I was really nervous leaving the house this morning. I'm driving to London to speak to someone who may be able to help Love Fresh out. And I've got to be there for an early meeting, so I thought I'd get a head start and beat the traffic. It's a challenge for me. I haven't left Cheshire since I arrived, so it feels very much like a milestone.
Life after
after a mental breakdown is a series of small challenges. But the thing is that none of them are large, and they're all doable. And they really, as long as you keep on top of it and don't set yourself goals. People talk about goal culture. I'm not a big fan of it. I went to a very traditional school, which was full of it. It didn't do me any good at all. I'm much more prone these days to think either that I'm going to do something or that I'm going to consider doing something in the future. And I find that a bit more of a healthier way to go about things. It's a subtle difference, but it just means that I can enjoy what I'm doing when I'm doing it and not think that I'm doing things because there's the next step. I've always kind of treaded a path, thought about pathways in life and heading towards things that you want to achieve. And that's good, but it can get a little bit stressful if that pathway gets a bit treacherous and a bit stretched out and if you don't meet your checkpoints on time. So, from my point of view, I'm not living a life now to stress myself. I'm doing things I love. And so I'm not thinking like that, and it's doing me a hell of a lot of good. It takes a bit of practice. But it becomes a habit anyway. A friend on Twitter, Tim, said to me 3 or 4 months ago when I first arrived in Cheshire in our little cottage, I audio-booed or tweeted about how I was feeling unstressed, relaxed, not manic, not depressed, not panicking, not anxious. And I said, maybe it's just a honeymoon period. And he replied, in summary, I don't hope to capture everything he said, but in summary, that your brain is a plastic, and it can be moulded. And when it's moulded, it tends to keep its shape quite well. And I'm finding as the months go by, with his words ringing in my head, as some of the more optimistic words I'd heard in the period after, during recovery. Those words spur me on. And they stop me having any natural kind of paranoia that it's a honeymoon period. And they stop me doing anything more than just enjoying things. So when I'm waking up early and out watching suns rise and walking with Poppy or sitting coding Love Fresh or talking to my friend about our new exciting business in Love Fresh, I'm enjoying it all the time. And if things get a bit busy, I stop doing as much. It seems pretty simple, and it's taken me, I'm 40 next year, it's taken me 39 years to realise this. If something challenges me too much, I used to think that that was, and this is a traditional view, that was something to embrace. But actually now I think, well, how much do I want that thing? Or how much do I want to do that thing? And if it's not that much, I just don't do it. Which, I don't know whether it's the lazy bastard psychology to being happy, but I don't really care. I've got a bit of a manic brain, and to say the least, and a chaotic brain. And if that helps my brain concentrate on a few things and concentrate better, then I'm happy to, embrace it as a way of thinking. My psychiatrists encouraged it. They said if I let my brain go free, basically it will drive me mad, because that's the kind of brain I've got. I'm not boasting to say this, because I don't think it's a clever definition. I think it's dysfunctional. But two psychiatrists, I look back now and smile, because it's clearly not true in any common societal perception, but labelled me a genius. And I wish that was true. I think the answer is that I'm striving hard to be an idiot, with a few gaps in that to let through some intelligent thinking, because I quite enjoy ignorance, and I think Love Fresh requires a little bit of blind faith. Like any startup, there's barriers and there'll be failures, and we're going to shape as people use it. Now, if you're going to do that, you've got to be ready for people to hate things, and you've got to be ready for things to have to be changed, and you've got to be ready for failure, and you've got to define that failure. way that's not going to give you another nervous breakdown. And for me, it'll be quite simple, because the very core purpose of Love Fresh is actually just a feature that I've always wanted in something. So I will continue to use it, and I will love it. And that will give me the enthusiasm and the passion to carry on with it. Now, if that passion rubs off on people and that enthusiasm rubs off on people, and hopefully they try it, and hopefully they find its simplicity enjoyable and its purpose worthwhile, then I can't see it failing, to be honest with you. I mean, I can see us failing to get it right and failing to explain and make it work as we want it to work. But essentially, I want the likes of myself to be able to put my eggs on sale when they start coming thick and fast, for anyone who's passing, and then with an honesty box. Now, that's the very smallest scale I would imagine Love Fresh will operate on. But hopefully there's a hell of a lot of people in cities and towns and the countryside that produce a little bit of food, whether they make jam, whether they make smoked meats, or they smoke fish, or they might produce their own cheese, they might have their own eggs, they might have their own goats. There's so many different things that people produce for their own consumption that actually would really benefit, and there is enough for their neighbours. And in terms of cutting down in waste in our consumption, I just think without being particularly careful or particularly politically correct or idealistic about anything, it's a simple thing that we can all embrace, the idea that our food supply can come from local sources. This will encourage a reduction in people's tipping of organic waste, because they'll want to make their own compost. This will encourage more farm gardening and horticulture for food by small scale operations, because there'll be a market, because the Love Fresh app will bring people to their operation from the surrounding area. It'll be a way of making sure that farmers markets and the people at farmers markets aren't a hit and miss affair, where you see them one month and hope you'll see them again but aren't guaranteed to see them again. You'll be able to make them as a contact, know where their premises are, bookmark them, go and check in at their premises, become part of their community, their food producers and eaters community. We're going to encourage local producers to organise feasts, where everyone can provide food, where everyone can turn up, much like a tweeter, but an eater. all of the things that Love Fresh is about, it is really, for me, they come about from possibly my agoraphobia, definitely our own values since we've been married, when we got married with our local food, when we went on our honeymoon in the UK, when we made sure ever since that we tried to find local sources of food and continue to buy from them. It's a no-brainer to me that it's a nice way of living. It reconnects us to the food around us. It reconnects us to each other after the kind of sterilised environments of the supermarkets and the depleted marketplaces and depleted shopping centres. And I think it gives us all a little bit more democracy in our food. It will be feasible, in my mind, in a year's time, when there's enough people knowing about different producers using Love Fresh, for a small meat producer to skew the supermarkets and decide, no, they're only going to sell to local outlets. Because all of those local outlets, wherever they are, will be able to advertise their local produce. And any one of them could have that produce checked in, and as the professional version of Love Fresh for producers is rolled out, they'll have much more control over what they announce, the way they announce it, and the social media output of them as a business. And hopefully we'll see a kind of, circular relationship develop. Anyway, so I'm passionate about it, and the obstacles to me now are little things to other people, like being able to go to London and have a meeting with someone and not be in a panic state. So that's the reason for this book. I want it in my diary, this record, because it's thrilling me. It's shocking me sun rises, the only flutters in my heart are flutters of pleasure and joy, because this is it. This is the start of my new career, and this time I'm in charge, and this time I don't have to answer to a corporation, and I don't have to go to the High Court and argue the toss about something I don't care about and get ridiculously stressed when I lose the case. I'm just doing something I feel passionate about. I'll get better and better at talking about it and being concise and not gibbering as I refine myself as a representative of a business. But I won't change one core thing, and that is it's been really refreshing after being uptight in the city for 15 years to be entirely open and unguarded on Audioboo. It's done me a hell of a lot of good. It's really got things off my chest, and it's certainly not hindered my recovery. It's helped it, because I've made really good friends. And if that's because I showed a bit of my humanity by being straightforward and unguarded and just free-flow talking, then that suits me, because that's the thing that I can do naturally. I'm a much, much more natural speaker if I don't think about what I'm saying. If I start thinking about it too much, I go to pieces, and I'm not going to do it in my working life. I've decided if I've got speeches to do about Love Fresh, I'm not going to prepare them. If I've got meetings to have about Love Fresh, I'll get my figures together and I'll get my facts together, but I'll do that days in advance and then I'll forget about it. So yeah, it's, I guess this is an evangelical boo on my part, but really because honestly it's such a realisation, is sitting on the M6. You know, you've no idea. I'll give you an example. I listen to most everything documentally, Booze, Christian Payne, top fella who I've met, really nice guy, and really compelling documentalist, social technologist, blogger, journalist. And he wouldn't be surprised to know, probably, because I've chatted with him on the phone as well, he knows me, that I've shed a tear or two when I've listened to him travelling about in Bonga mentally. Just because of how mobile he is, how he gets about, and how socially able he is. And you know, I've always been socially able, that's why I was a negotiator in my job, but after a nervous breakdown, it doesn't happen, you know, you lose those skills a lot, and your nerves take over. Well, sitting in my car now, driving along, I feel like I'm on the way to being able to do just that, to being able to go to conferences and meet up with people I've enjoyed chatting to on Twitter, and go and represent Love Fresh. And it's never going to be a problem for me going and meeting farmers and food producers, because my passion stays in the way of any thoughts and nerves. And it distracts me entirely, the excitement of going to a new farm or a new mill or whatever it is. But to be able to go to London after 20 years living there, two nervous breakdowns, lots of stress, and a very, very big relief at leaving, I've come a long way, basically, and it makes me think of documentaries, journeys, and his exciting travels and his exciting times, and it makes me think I can have them now. And well, I'm not as excited as him, obviously, because he's a bit of he's too much of a social ninja. He's him and Radio K are telling me she's off in NASA at the minute, and she's another person who I've become friendly with since Audio Blue, who inspires me and thrills me equally regularly. Anyway, jibber jibber. I'll stop now, you get the idea. I've got my note for my diary. I hope you can hear this diary. It's probably just a load of the engine noise and 20 minutes in, that's a shame. But if not, just know that you were happy at this particular moment in time, Mark.